veteran, and my first attempt to save the Coliseum was in about the year 1993, and I was probably the only season ticket holder that showed up. But Paul Allen was giving public proposals for his Rose Garden, and I was there, and I got there last, and I was there to speak, and I signed up, and they ask you who you are and who you represent. I said, I'm Gil Frey, and I represent 10,000 people. I don't know who they are, but there's only 100 of us here, and technically we all represent about 10,000 people. So Brian Parrott wasn't scheduled to talk, but he got up after me, and he says, I'm Brian Parrott, and I represent 10,000 people. I have been one veteran who has been concerned about the Coliseum all along. So when you say that you have the support of the veterans, I'm sure you do, because I know that some veterans have their eyes on that.
No,
walls.
I say we've been working with leaders of the veterans groups. I don't claim to have the support of veterans.
Well, I thought I read something like that along the way. It seemed to be implied if it wasn't said. But I do know that some of the veterans are actively working with various groups, and they mostly want the Coliseum down, and they're willing seemingly to go along with that. But the Rose Festival, the Memorial Coliseum was built with the Rose Festival in mind. It was a memorial to the veterans, but they have told me at some point that the representatives of the Rose Festival were on the spot when they were building it, week by week by week. Now, that probably isn't the case with the Rose Garden. Rose Garden, I think, was built with a contractor out of Kansas City, and I don't think there was much consultation between people in Portland and Kansas City, but not so on the Coliseum. And so ever since the Coliseum was built, the Rose Festival has started there. Not always have they had their coronation of the Queen there. They do now. But the Rose Festival starts there, and people come from all over the world, and sometimes in tours and buses, to come to this Coliseum from all over the world. And the Coliseum is designed to accommodate the vision of a parade from sitting there inside when it's raining. And it rains every, it rains every Rose Festival. So then you have the OSAA, the Oregon State Association, Oregon School Association, Oregon School Athletic Association, thank you very much, Oregon School Athletic Association. They have brought to Portland 3 state championships in the last 50 days. 3, most of them in the month of March. 3 state championships. You know, and that was wrestling. And when they bring the wrestlers into town, they bring the wrestlers, they bring the coaches, they bring the parents, the grandparents, and they fill all the motels over here.
So, Mr. Frey?
I'm out of time.
I've given you, we're going on 4 minutes.
Thank you very much. Okay.
I always like hearing.
Let me make a quickie. And that is that I think that the Oregon School Activities Association, with their 3 state championships and the Rose Festival, bring more business to Portland than the Blazers all year long during the regular season.
Thank you, Mr. Frey.
Mr. Frey, I just have a comment.
Thank you.
You said you've been participating since 1993. My office pulled a transcript from 2004 because I was on the other side of the microphone and we wanted to see what I had said at that point. And you were testifying as a citizen in the 3-minute slots on the Memorial Coliseum in 2004. So thank you for your dedication.
Thank
to
you very
course.
Much. Thank you.
Sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Frey.
I'd request 3 minutes.
Sure.
And my name is Leroy Cameron, I'm going to start. I'm going to read this because, pardon me if I don't have a lot of eye contact, because I've got a lot of stuff to
That's
cover.
That's okay.
Assuming that the minor league stadium is built in the Rose Quarter, in the next few years, Portland will need a major league stadium. What then? Build a new stadium? Big problem. But the bigger problem, much bigger problem, is that an improper development will probably have already taken place around the minor league stadium. Common sense dictates that placing a baseball stadium in the Rose Quarter Lloyd area will create a development handicap that will inhibit creative design of the area. The quality of the Rose Quarter Lloyd development would forever be diminished and compromised. A cardinal rule in urban planning is that an area should be planned initially to its ultimate best use. The comparative losses for not following that those guidelines can be so enormous that they are incalculable. Virtually all of the Lloyd Center business and activity and their architects do not support the Coliseum. Radio and TV polls indicate that roughly 65-85% of the people, depending on the poll, that were polled, do not agree with removing the Coliseum. A glitzy 24-hour entertainment area will attract the wrong elements to our community. By contrast, our proposal includes the infrastructure to ensure the development of a healthy, vibrant, self-sustaining neighborhood. That project is called the Veterans Memorial Coliseum Arts and Athletic Center, or VMAC. It is designed to turn the Coliseum into an arts and athletic educational magnet center, which could become the cornerstone of a new cultural and creative industry campus. The employment opportunities will encourage quality, high-density residential development along the waterfront and surrounding areas, creating a healthy, family-friendly neighborhood with a heart and a soul. Our objective is to make Portland the cultural center of the Pacific Northwest. It's going to take a commitment to education to realize that goal and to create a major expansion of the cultural tourism industry. A clean, renewable industry that will bring tens of thousands of new jobs and hundreds of millions of new dollars into our regional economy. We have identified several successful models across the U.S. and Canada, and we believe we will have activities to support that will support approximately a 16-hour day in the new facility. The multi-revenue streams that we have located, we think, will make this facility self-sustaining. We have spent thousands of man and woman hours on this project. It is impossible to explain this multi-layered project in a few minutes, so I'll look forward to giving a full and formal presentation in the near future. We respectfully suggest that the decision be to demolish the Coliseum be delayed so that alternative proposals can be studied. By the way, the VMAC is similar in many ways to the MARC project, one I think you're all familiar with. I think Doug is going to be up here in a minute. Except it has a huge arts and cultural component. The Beers can play a year or two in other locations. I'm sure those have already been identified for you. And to end on a positive note, the VMAC continues and expands all existing activities, including the Rose Festival, Winterhawks, OASS, and et cetera. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, very much. Thanks, each of you, for your testimony. Carla?
Next three are Douglas Oblitz, Martha Peck Andrews, and Henry Kane. They'll be followed by Paul Falsetto, David W. Faraday, and Angela H. Kramer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to City Council again. We're glad you're here. You just need to give us your name and if you want 2 or 3 minutes.
Henry Kane, K-A-N-E, Beaverton, former Portland resident, World War II veteran, an opponent of destroying the Memorial Coliseum. You have notice of litigation if city does not hold ORS 279C.335 sub 5 sub A public hearing. So now you have notice of litigation. If the council had listened to both sides before it voted, it might have read the part that says you have to give notice of a hearing, and that is in a paper of general circulation 14 days before. The World War II veterans who came back, and there were 770,000 of us who did not, when the population was less than half of what it is today, were very forthright. And when they found that a sheriff was elected, Marion Elliott, under false pretenses, they gathered the signatures to recall him and defeated him. Now, I don't care whether there's a soccer stadium or not, but I do care about keeping the faith, keeping the Memorial Coliseum. And some of those listed, I'm afraid, are my buddies. That's what, going on 65 years ago. Now, I will file a complaint that you did not comply with the 14-day notice. Secondly, a separate complaint will allege that the development agreement is not definite, and under the heading of waste, the purported agreement does not bind Deep Pocket Merritt Paulson. Shell Corporation, particularly one from Delaware, is not a reliable entity. And then finally, I expect to be able to challenge the agreements on the ground that violates Article 11, Section 9. You don't lend the credit by a bond issue or otherwise to a private body. The last part deals with the possibility that the Coliseum will not have to be destroyed because nothing in Major League Soccer says it has to be exclusive. And by the way, 5, 10, 15 home games a year is not going to produce much tax revenue. Soccer has been losing money, and one or two of them may even be breaking even.
Mr. Kane, you're doing a great job, and the written testimony you provided us is exemplary, and for those reasons I gave you 4 minutes, but well said. I appreciate your testimony.
Well, I will have my word in court. Thank you.
Fair enough.
Mr. Mayor, I request 2 minutes and 59 seconds, please.
So granted. We appreciate your compassion.
Douglas Oblitz, I wasn't sure I was going to testify today, and after listening to Governor Attia, I'm not sure I can follow that very well. And I'm not here today to speak against the larger plan to bring Major League Soccer to Portland or efforts to find a place for the Beavers to play. I have two teenage sons that play soccer. We like going to Timbers games, except not in one particular section of the stadium, but I'm a fan. However, Portland is a city that prides itself on excellent urban planning, sustainability, and finding a way to put a unique Portland stamp on the city. To date, the process and planning for a minor league ballpark in the Rose Quarter are missing all three of these elements. This plan is not a Portland plan. The drawings that I saw last night at the Rose Quarter are not ready for prime time, and they're not ready to be the basis for a $55 to $200 million set of decisions. Over the last 30 years, I've been involved in a number of large public and private projects in town, And what I saw last night really represents just maybe the first 1 or 2% of design, or put another way, the first few days of a process that would normally take 1 to 1.5 years. Now, I'm no Merrick Paulson, but it'd be really difficult for me to find the equity and debt financing for a project at this early stage of evolution in good times, much less the times we are in now. If you asked me if I were ready to sign up for a project based on what I saw last night, I would say no. And if you asked me if I would advise the city to make a siting decision next week based on what I saw last night, I would advise no. Rome wasn't built in a day, and Portland wasn't planned in a week. I don't think it's possible to make a 50-year decision about one of the most important districts in the city based on a 2-day design charrette and one night of meaningful public input. About 27 years ago, Portland business leader and PDC chairman, the late Bill Roberts, famously declared a plan to build a public square on the site of the old Meyer and Frank parking garage a dead letter, and he announced his intent to pursue development of an enclosed glass structure that would require the purchase of a ticket to enter. The people of Portland famously rose up against that idea. They pushed the city council to hold an open design competition, and they plopped down between $5 and $25 for the bricks that paved the plaza today. Pioneer Square today is Portland's living room and its signature open space. It would not have it happened without the people of Portland really caring about their city and investing their time and money to make it an extraordinary place. Given what I heard last night and how the blogosphere lit up afterwards, I suspect that this may be another Pioneer Square moment, a once-in-a-generation opportunity to create Portland's signature district. I think the council may be surprised at how the public can help to shape the Rose Quarter into a uniquely Portland place, and maybe they would be willing to vote to save and invest in the Memorial Coliseum. There would be a nice irony and maybe symmetry to this in that people voted to build the Coliseum and construct the Veterans Memorial Coliseum 50 years ago. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mr. Oblitz. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Martha Peck Andrews. I really didn't coordinate my testimony with the previous speaker, but I think we're going to echo many of the same comments. I've distributed my testimony. It has Andrews Architects at the top. Very briefly, we all are proud of Portland for its livability. We take pride that we're noted around the world for excellent urban planning, and that's the Portland way. And what we're looking at right now is a process which has failed to have any public input into the design of the Rose Quarter, and we've all jumped to the poor conclusion that the only place for the baseball stadium is at the Memorial Coliseum site. That's not the Portland way. We need to step back, take a deep breath, go through a public process that gets public input, and very specifically on the second page of my letter, I've requested changes in the language of the ordinance that is in front of you. If you turn to the second page of my testimony, Section 1, and I won't read the whole thing, but the council has two findings. One, that the city will plan to develop, partly finance development, construct renovations to PGA Park, and that will be known as the MLS, the Major League Soccer Stadium. And secondly, a new AAA baseball stadium of between 7,500 and 9,500 seats. And you need to strike the language that says potentially on the site of the Memorial Coliseum. That's the only site that's listed at all in your proposed ordinance, and it's jumping to the wrong conclusion for many of the reasons that speakers have already said today. Secondly, in the recitals, I would request that you strike again the language that says potentially on the site of Memorial Coliseum and add language that says the new baseball stadium would be on a site within the city of Portland to be selected through a professional design evaluation process, including opportunities for public input and comment. In the interest of brevity, I will conclude. Thank you.
Appreciate your letter, written testimony as well. It's very well stated. Thank you. Carla?
Next three are Paul Falsetto, David W. Faraday, and Angela H. Kramer. They'll be followed by Jeff Bernards, Richard Postedio, and Gwen Baldwin.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. You just need to give us your name.
My name is Paul Falsetto, and I work and teach in the architecture and historic preservation fields. And this might be the trifecta as I follow and echo Doug and Martha's comments. I do want to show as a taxpayer my appreciation that when you're looking for a stadium, the first place you look is on land we already own. That makes good sense. And looking at the drawings last night, knowing that you have a hardworking and dedicated and talented planning staff, I could really see them struggling to find room for the stadium in the Rose Quarter area. If you do the logical thing and push it up against Broadway, we have major utilities that have to be removed. We also have roadway and infrastructure systems that we're disturbing. If we push it closer to the Rose Garden, we're starting to collapse two big venues next to each other where we really want space around them. And I looked at all the variations as well. And it just appears to me that we're trying to really put 6 pounds of mud in that proverbial 5-pound sack. And what I'm also concerned about is the baseball field in this location has its flexibility quite limited. Beavers have been here for a while, and God forbid they'll stay here for quite some time. But if they go away, we have a dedicated ball field and no longer a major tenant where we don't want it to be. And if, for instance, a very young Mr. Paulson decides down the road he wants to do what he did for baseball with what he did for soccer and gives us a Major League Baseball franchise here, we've got no room for them. We can't slip in. And so now the stadium's not where it wants to be. So I see a variety of compromises. I think the ballpark itself is compromised. I think the Rose Quarter and its viability could be compromised. And the historic resource, the recognized historic resource that is the Memorial Coliseum, is greatly compromised in this proposal. And what bothers me most, I think, is that it compromises our hard-earned reputation as progressive and insightful planners and leaders in deep sustainability efforts. So I would encourage you to not live with compromise, but to find the win-win situation, find time to be able to do that, and let's make it work the Portland way. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Sir?
I'm David Faraday. I've lived in Portland about 40 years or more. I'm an architect. Obviously, I'm interested in preserving the Coliseum. I could go on at length about that. I would like to put it into a slightly larger context than previous speakers, however, and that is to say, when friends and colleagues of mine have come to Oregon to visit, I take them to Mount Angel and look at the Alvar Aalto Library there. I take them to Silverton to see the Frank Lloyd Wright Gordon House that's there. In Portland, we look at Pietro Belluschi's buildings, his office buildings, houses, churches, the John Yon waterfront building that we discussed earlier, and Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill's Memorial Coliseum building. That building is by one of the major firms teaching, practicing architecture in the 20th century in the modern idiom. As I mentioned, Wright, Aalto, Belluschi, Yon, Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill, they're right up there, as was Mies van der Rohe, whose influence on the specifics of the design of that building are very apparent. That's one thing. The other thing is I've had some marvelous experiences there. I mentioned last night going to musical events and hearing John Denver. I also remember Steve Prefontaine running there. As a high schooler on the East Coast, we had indoor track both in high school and college. It was a marvelous experience. We don't have that anymore here, but we used to have it in the Memorial Coliseum. Portland University of Oregon has recently come back to having a baseball team. Hopefully, Oregon State might come back someday and have a track team. I remember Dick Fosbury, the most famous track star of that school's history. They're part of the history of that building and perhaps could be again, and perhaps even high school indoor track could make a return to Portland.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Angela Kramer, and I am a resident of Elliott. And as a resident, I'm bringing forth a resolution passed by the board the general meeting at Elliott on Monday night. Pauline Bradford could not be here but encouraged me to come. I want to make two points before reading the resolution. I'm asking the council to slow this down and, in fact, construct a process that can be dynamic, alive, and sustainable for the neighborhoods around the Rose Quarter, who are all affected by what happens in the Rose Quarter. With very little time, we have not been involved, and that is wrong. We need a civically engaged group of people that can work together across neighborhood and business boundaries to invigorate the Rose Quarter. There is much we can do together. We already have rich relationships that can be grown and leveraged. We are the experts in our own neighborhoods, and we are the ones who must move forward together. Please slow this down and involve us, and involve us with our business partners who are in the Lloyd District and the Rose Quarter. Second, we believe we need a good neighbor agreement that is binding, like the Goose Hollow. We do not have a good neighbor agreement that works with the Blazers, and it is evidence from the meeting on Monday night that there are many things that we are not able to deal with in our neighborhood. So I will read the resolution with your time allowed.
Sure.
Okay. An Elliott neighborhood resolution in opposition of minor league baseball stadium at the Rose Quarter. As a preamble, these are our findings. Elliott neighborhood is a diverse and creative neighborhood with a desire to see new residential and commercial development within and adjacent to its boundaries. Elliott has suffered many negative impacts from poor city development decisions in the past and continues to suffer negative impacts today. The planning and development for a new minor league baseball stadium in the Rose Quarter has not included any neighborhood involvement. The Elliott Neighborhood Association participated and supported the outcome of the previous Rose Quarter planning effort, and that recommended reestablishing the neighborhood in the Rose Quarter and precluded the development of a baseball stadium. The Elliott Neighborhood Association wants to work with the city and other stakeholders to create a plan that builds on the previous Rose Quarter plan and that is appropriate to this important site. Current impacts from events at the Rose Quarter negatively impact the Elliott neighborhood and have not been adequately addressed by the city. The Goose Hollow neighborhood has a good neighborhood agreement with the city that governs the use of PGA Park, including the number and the types of events, and this neighborhood is a good example of an agreement between the Elliott Neighborhood Association and the city, which could be binding and could show a change in the behavior in this situation. Be it resolved, the Elliott Neighborhood Association opposes the current plan for development of a minor or major league baseball stadium in the Rose Quarter or anywhere adjacent or within the Neighborhood Association boundaries. Furthermore, the Neighborhood Association requests that a good neighbor agreement be established between the Elliott Neighborhood Association, the city, the Trailblazers, and any other development interests within the Rose Quarter for any new entertainment uses as a condition of development. In closing, I would just like to notice that sustainability is really a three-way partnership. It is about the environment, it is about the economy, but most importantly, it's about equity. And equity is essential, especially in a neighborhood like Elliott, which has not experienced the fairness that we can have through planning. Thank you.
I appreciate your comments. As a staff person, I was involved in putting that neighborhood agreement together in Northwest Portland, so that is a good agreement. Thank you for your testimony. Carla?
No one has asked before, but you don't validate parking, do you?
No, you didn't take transit, walk, or bike here?
Well, I have to go some other
I'm
place.
Teasing you. Sorry, we don't have the budget for that.
The next three are Jeff Bernards, Richard Potestio, and Gwen Baldwin.
You guys must be hungry.
And they'll be followed by Richard Mills, Veronica Bernier, and Thomas O'Keefe.
And how many more do we have? Carla?
Two more.
Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome back to the City Council for some of you. Glad you're here. Just give us your name and the clock will guide your time.
3 minutes.
You'd like 3 minutes?
Okay. 10, but you know.
Okay. Try to pack it into three.
I'm going to try. So I'm Jeff Bernards and I'm here. The whole soccer deal has become that they require a soccer-specific stadium. Has anyone approached MLS and asked that requirement be waived? I mean, it can't be that. We've had soccer there for 10 years or however long, and the game seemed to go on just fine. I think if someone wrote a letter to them and said, hey, we're having some economic troubles, we really want a soccer thing, if we could combine the field for a couple of years so this economy got better, I think that that's fine. Because there was a letter in the Tribune, the guy claimed he read the thing, and there was no specific, that it had to be a soccer-specific stadium. I don't want to look for the least cost option, but the soccer deal has turned into this mega project that, like right now, as a taxpayer, I'm a little worried about my future and reading the paper every day, and I think you need to look at some least cost options. I mean, Merritt said it was going to be $40 million for a team. It ended up being $35. Well, you're looking for $15. I know where $5 is, and I don't see him volunteering that $5, you know. And there's a lot of books out on how stadiums are basically corporate welfare, and there's field of schemes. And I think that maybe you should read some of that. You know, it's like I've been reading up on it. Stadiums create the lowest job return than any other opportunity investment. Sam Adams, you wanted to be the education czar. I think just hiring back the teachers that have been laid off would provide jobs. I mean, that would be a better use of money. I mean,
I don't know if I used the word czar, but...
Well, anyway. So Paul Allen, reported to be the seventh richest in the world, was able to file bankruptcy with the Rose Quarter. Paulson's family isn't nearly as wealthy. Believe me, they'll have a back door if things don't turn out well. The Kansas City model that's being promoted for the Rose Quarter is currently losing tens of millions of dollars, which is now currently being made up by local taxes and budget cuts. So it's not really a... and concrete, or it's not that great a deal anyway. I've met no one that supports the soccer deal except those guys in the green jerseys. I mean, I mean, they did a TV poll. 70% of the people didn't support it. So, I mean, I don't want to dare you, but I dare you to put it on a ballot and see it pass. It won't pass. There's not that support for it right now. People are more worried about their job and paying their rent. I mean, back to approaching MLS, I mean, I own a little rental property in town, and I read what the trends are. The trend are is to go up and ask your landlord for a discount on your rent. I think you can go to MLS and say, hey, we just want to have the stadium the way it is for a couple years until things get better. We're already paying $35 million to have this thing, and then we can have the baseball and everything all in one and just wait till things get better. It's a little dodgy out there right now. Seattle was pointed out as an example for support for soccer. They sold 20,000 season tickets, so Portland got all excited. They sold 500 tickets on the first day. That's not very many. I mean, if they sold 5,000, I could see there was big support for it, but 500 is not very many season tickets. And then my next question is, where's Nike in all this? They want to be into the soccer thing. I think, you know, they paid LeBron James $125 million. I think that they could be real involved, like they don't really have a outpost in Portland, and it could be Nike Stadium or whatever, and there could be a source of money there. I think that other avenues need to be researched.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. Rick, you did good.
Richard Potestio, I'm an architect here in Portland, and first I'd just like to state that I don't think that I can really follow up on Governor Attia or Doug Oblitz's comments. I think they really hit right to the heart of the matter here, but I'll try and do something. I think Portland's legacy is based in its planning process, and that's based in our public process. But what Portland is really uniquely known for is not our endless meetings, but the fact that Portlanders have always led their elected officials. And this is with true vision and action. So in Portland, it's really the citizens' legacy that led to the creation of projects like the Memorial Coliseum, Pioneer Square, Light Rail, Tom McCall Park, and so many of the wonderfully preserved historic buildings and parks that we have. So I think this council must see its role as protecting and advancing the values of our city and our citizens. And I therefore urge the council to consider the wording and intent of this ordinance. Because based on plans presented at the open house last evening, it appears the only option being seriously considered is to demolish the Memorial Coliseum to provide space for a minor league baseball park. Destruction of the Memorial Coliseum is a destruction of more than a great building or a historic memorial. It destroys a civic act of hope, memory, and community, so exemplary of Portland's values. As such, to tear down the Memorial Coliseum is an act of vandalism. Long before the people built Pioneer Square, over the objections of their mayor and vested business interests, they built the Memorial Coliseum. The Memorial Coliseum was and is, to borrow or riff on a metaphor, Portland's family room. It's a great unifying space with a grand concourse that brought a proud community together in shared experiences. And the concourse was a promenade, and still can be, where Portlanders mingle and view their beautiful city. So lest I sound too sentimental and nostalgic, I want to consider the economics, the sustainability, and the common sense of destroying this building to make room for a new venue. And many people have spoken to this already. Who trades a 12,600-seat venue, an all-weather, multi-purpose arena and exhibition complex for a 7,500-seat, fair-weather, single-purpose stadium? One can and is repurposed by definition and design, hosting hundreds of different events every year. The other would be a static and mobile structure hosting dozens of events, weather permitting. And finally, as a cyclist, I find it deplorable that what ultimately is of value in the Rose Quarter is its parking. I don't see the sustainability, I don't see the sense, and I don't see the logic in this proposal, and I ask you to reconsider it.
Thank you, Rick. Gwen.
Good afternoon. Gwen Baldwin here representing the Lloyd Executive Partnership. You should have letters that shortly we'll have letters that are signed by members of the board. And I wanted to sort of summarize this letter for the record. Both the Lloyd Executive Partnership and the Lloyd Business Improvement District are committed to economic development and to maximizing the potential of dollars through the urban renewal area, which, as you know, is scheduled to sunset in 2013. That's not a lot of time left to be making wise choices. So it's critical that every political funding and budget decision be one that creates that catalytic leveraging. LEP and BID remain committed to three priorities that have had the greatest potential to increase economic development and create jobs: the headquarters hotel, the streetcar loop, and the redevelopment of the Oregon Convention Center area and Rose Quarter, with an emphasis on sustainability. Now, the hotel alone would create 2,100 jobs during the 24-hour construction period and 820 long-term jobs, according to KPMG. Now, while the siting of the Portland Beavers baseball stadium at Rose Quarter wasn't a part of redevelopment plans or priorities developed over the years, we actually believe that it can be a strong added attractor to the entertainment district being planned by Blazers and Cordish, as well as the Green District being discussed as part of the Oregon Solutions Project, which builds off of the Oregon Blocks Development Plan and the Lloyd Crossing Plan. These efforts together could create a package of catalytic projects that will leverage private funding, create jobs, and establish an iconic, sustainable neighborhood like no other. It's essential, however, that the entertainment district and the ballpark be sited and funded in a way that's supportive of and agreeable to both the Trailblazers and Peregrine Sports LLC, and makes both projects achievable operationally and financially. If at the end of the day, the Lloyd District simply ends up exchanging Memorial Coliseum for a ballpark, millions of public dollars will have been spent to end up with the same facilities district we live with today, one that only attracts specific event goers and not a vibrant neighborhood. We do believe that that would be an adverse outcome compared to an outcome that truly enlivens the neighborhood and the district. The LEP and BID believe it's possible to have a Rose Quarter redevelopment plan that includes an entertainment district, a ballpark, and a vibrant mixed-use neighborhood. In order to ensure that outcome, we would respectfully request that the City Council include clarity on funding, siting, and operations for both the ballpark and entertainment district in any binding agreements. We know you're at non-binding now, but putting the word out. We do look forward to working with the Mayor and City Council to achieve a dynamic future for the Lloyd District. Thanks.
Baldwin, can I ask you a question or two?
You may.
I had the pleasure last spring of meeting with the Lloyd Executive Partnership, I guess the Lloyd Business Improvement District.
Both. We actually were in a joint meeting.
it was an interesting meeting, and I got a full briefing on the core priorities of that organization. Mm-hmm. And what I was told was they included a headquarter hotel, mm-hmm. which had been planned for a very long period of time.
It's the beginning of the urban renewal area.
I believe it was the first priority of that urban renewal.
Indeed.
A streetcar loop, which mm-hmm. had been planned for some considerable period of time,
mm-hmm.
and some kind of 24-hour district around the convention center so that it would become a vibrant area that people would actually choose to recreate and engage.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate the fact that those are all initiatives that the organization has worked on for a long period of time and, mm-hmm. and has extensive discussions and negotiations and process. Do you think that in 1 week we can address the concerns in your letter as to funding and siting with respect to the next generation for the Rose Quarter?
I don't know. You tell me. We put the parameters out, and I don't know that it's a week. I don't know that it's 5 days. I don't know that it's 45 days, you know, the term of the inspection period. I don't know that there is a time specific. I do know that there is an outcome that we're committed to as a group. And I think that the, you know, perspectives of what that necessary time and process could or should be candidly vary. But this is what the group is very, very committed to, is that it's important to enliven and to redevelop the Rose Quarter and the area in a way that really creates the kind of 24/7 vibrant neighborhood that the city, I think, has been waiting for a very, very, very long time. And so we would look to you to make that possible.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Really appreciate it.
Next three are Richard Mills, Veronica Bernier, and Thomas O'Keefe.
And how many after that?
And then the last two who signed up were Harley Waddell and Tony Stacy.
Good afternoon. Welcome to City Council. Glad you're here. Just need to give us your name.
Hello, my name is Richard Mills. I didn't come here today planning to make any remarks, but I realize there is something I would like to say. There's an old saying that haste makes waste, and I fear that you are in the process of making a lot of waste in the name of haste. As we have heard today, the only reason that the baseball stadium has been coupled with the soccer stadium is because Paragon Sports LLC has coupled them. I respectfully urge you to consider decoupling these two items. There is obviously a lot of opposition to the plans to demolish Memorial Coliseum, but I haven't heard any good reason or any reason at all why any decision on the Coliseum site has to be made right now. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Mm-hmm. Veronica.
Hi. Veronica Bernier here from Portland State Public Health and Community Health Education. Good morning. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor. Always good to see you, Mayor Adams. Today I'm struggling with that bronchitis, and I have to say that I'm having a little voice failure, but I'll sit closer. Okay, good. You know me from the past, and I say hello to Commissioner Randy Leonard, our favorite, of course, the one with the most seniority here, and Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
I need any more trouble from Dan than I have.
Yeah,
he's
really?
Actually the senior member of the council. I'm the senior citizen of the council.
Right. Let me correct that. Okay.
I'll say that if I could just note that while I may not be your favorite, we are happy to host you on a regular basis, and you're still you are still welcome to use the front of our office as your office and to use the phone, and we will continue to extend the courtesies, even though I think I have slipped in your estimation.
The telephone bill question again.
Cups of coffee, okay. And how much coffee cake has Commissioner Leonard bought for you?
Lots.
No, wait a minute.
Lots.
Okay, look. No,
go ahead,
I will take you up on that rain check, Mayor Adams, really. I'm serious, but I just didn't have time that day. But anyway, Commissioner Amanda Fritz, that's a joke. It's always good to see you, too, and I welcome your input because I'm a former nurse myself, CVICU LVN of 20 years, and I'm here because of that primarily, too. It's an interest from nurses, and I also want to say hello to Dan Saltzman, Commissioner Dan Saltzman, because he's my favorite, too, all-time favorite. I worked for him in the past.
Say that to all the commissioners.
I know we do. And, of course, Nick Fish, Commissioner.
I think
Nick
the brand Fish. Is getting diluted here.
yeah. But anyway, Commissioner Fish, Certainly, your input in housing is well respected, and you've brought some really innovative new ideas to housing, and I want to address that too. But about the building, this is where we're at. I am a former CBICULVN, and I represent five children who are 2 years old. One is Oliver. He's with the Farnbacher Hof Group. And we all know Oliver. He's written a book. And for a nonverbal child to write a book, this is amazing. And his little friend is Rick. He calls him Wiki. It's Rick. And then he has another one called Richard, which is really Richard. And then there's another one called Tyler. And all those two-year-olds who are pre-verbal agree that they like it the way it is. And I'm speaking to them directly because they took their first walks there. Their first steps were taken there. And the first steps for a toddler are so important. We all know as mothers, myself too, that those first steps as children are so important. And they like that. And so they sent me here today. I'm a lobbyist for a two-year-old group. Pre-toddlers. But anyway, I wanted to also share that I'm also a baseball fan and slow-pitch softball pitcher for the Children's Hospital Memorial softball team, and I really swing up to bat for things that are old. I like heritage things, and I also enjoy the older parts of the city, and I love those twin towers there. That to me, it's like an emerald or jewel shining at night. It's very romantic, and for those reasons of aesthetics, I continue to support it as a building in our environment. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Veronica. Tom?
Commissioner Mayors, Mayor, my concern is getting rid of the name Memorial. I am a Vietnam vet, and I have concerns like other veterans. Mm-hmm. And if the stadium does go up, it'd be called Memorial Stadium. During the last review process for the Rose Quarter, you invited the Korean vets to sit in on that review process. During this process, and I'm sure you watched it on cable TV, no veterans organization was invited to sit in on those proceedings. Also, we know this is about money.
They were.
Not if you look at the list of the people involved in this, there isn't one veteran organization that sat on that.
They'll be speaking next, so just so you know.
My concern is the money that's involved here. It's the naming rights, and they're worth millions of dollars. PGE Park sold for $8.7 million for a 10-year contract. That contract expires next year. If you're not aware, PGE is not going to re-sign that naming rights agreement. So as we see, corporations come and go, veterans don't. And so I would, in the name of civic pride, that would stay like that. Also, for funding the naming rights agreement, Mayor Katz, I'm sure you're aware, signed an agreement with PCL after the Portland Family Entertainment dissolved to take 3/8 of the naming rights monies, though that agreement was never instituted, and it was rescinded at the last moment. And if you look at those records, you'll see that too. And so I have concerns about monies coming ahead of veterans. And if a new stadium goes in there, it's called Memorial Stadium. And that that money's put up by corporations, and it doesn't become a Taco Bell stadium or something that we're seeing else take place around the country from corporate stadiums. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
The last two who signed up were Harley Waddell and Tony Stacy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for waiting.
Good afternoon.
Glad you're here.
Well, we're very pleased to be here as well. Once again, I think if I may, I'd like possibly go over that 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
I've heard several people speak this morning and this afternoon. Oddly enough, only three of them really addressed the reason why the building was there in the first place. It has been a memorial. There's no two ways about it. The one big problem is that the veterans have never been able to use it properly. If you, I challenge anybody sitting up there or within the room to tell me how many memorial services have been held at the Memorial Coliseum in 50 years. Hmm. How many Veterans Day, Memorial Day, or 4th of July parades have begun or ended at that location? Zilch. Unfortunately, where we're at right now, if there's a big to-do about removing a building, we're not trying to get involved in that. But we are saying that the veterans need a location where they can be more in charge of the events that happen. Something where they can control who's on the premises. The idea of making a memorial out of the new stadium, if the new stadium becomes or comes in, that sounds great. And I have no problem with it. The big thing is that we definitely need something on the order of a Veterans Memorial Park with buildings, places where we can display the names of every person that has not returned from our wars since the Civil War or since the territory became a state. So we're really interested in trying to do a proper job out of this. We don't want to take the steam out of anybody, but we just want to make certain that we have been doing our homework. We have seen the ODVA. They are in favor of this. We have talked to the United Veterans Group of Oregon, and they are in favor of this, and there will be letters to that effect very shortly. The whole thing is that, quite frankly, everyone that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to, well, let's just say multi-hundreds. When I come right down to it, there have been very, very few veterans, when they know the entire thought process here, that we want to build a memorial park. There's very few veterans that are not aboard. I would say that it's in excess of 90% agree that a place the veterans can use is far more important than most any other considerations. I'll stop right there, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, and I appreciate all your leadership. You've been a stalwart leader in the veterans community, fighting for recognition and their rights, and really appreciate it. Tony.
Mayor, commissioners, my name is Tony Stacy. Excuse me. In the past 30 days, we have reached the groups that we call them splinter groups that belong to the Oregon United Veterans groups. They consist of the Order of the Purple Heart, the Korean War Veterans, the VFW, the Daughters of the Revolution, most important, the Gold Star Mothers, the AMVETS, the Vietnam Veterans, World War I and World War II, the Native American Veterans, Non-Commissioned Officers, Northwest Indians Veterans Association. We've also sent out through the Department of Defense the actions that are actually going on here when it comes to the memorial, and we've gotten their response. The veterans understand that this is a time period of productivity and the need for some progress. The few veterans that are out there say that you're out to destroy or demolish a memorial. For the records, Veterans Decommission, we do not destroy memorials. We have the backing of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs on looking into what we have taken to the Merritt Paulson Group and also to the Trailblazers on how we can memorialize veterans other than what the walls that are currently there represent, which is a 12-mile radius of veterans from the World War II and the Korean War. Our hope is to memorialize all veterans of all conflicts. Now, as a buildings person, I intimately know the Memorial Coliseum. I know the insides and the outs. I have put together many events there during the course of being in sports entertainment. The time has come for this building to be taken a look at very seriously. When they say there are 150 events that do take place there, that is true. What they bring in is not enough to sustain the building. I know. I set up these events. I challenge the architects groups to come in and have an event at the Memorial Coliseum. I don't believe I can remember one event or meeting that was held there. And I've done so also with the veterans groups. This thing has been going on for 5 years and resurrects itself every 3 to 5 years. But only when somebody says it's time to move on and move forward. In closing here, we will continue to notify all these veterans groups as to how this plays out. We support any movement that shows that it creates jobs, that brings economic stimulus, and memorializes veterans. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Really appreciate it. And thanks for serving on the MLS task force. All right. If it's okay with council, I have a very human need to have a quick recess to use the restroom. So I'd like to call a 10-minute recess. We'll be back at 40 past the hour.
And we're done with this resolution. Move to second reading.
Yeah. We'll have some additional discussion when I get back. Okay. But, yeah. In recess for 10 minutes.